together. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
you died to save man.
The
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
If you need faithful listeners and supporters of John Montgomery International Ministries, for the entire month of January, we are celebrating Dr. Montgomery's birthday. If he's been a blessing to you through the teaching and preaching of God's word, let us be a blessing to this great man of God in a tangible way. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Dr. Montgomery's Cash App is Dr. JEM2, or you can send it to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Thank you for your love and support to this great man of God. Wishing him a very happy birthday.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people.
Fiery darts, equipped to extinguish the fiery darts. Now, my brothers and sisters, I would that you would open your spiritual ears and hear this word, because many of you have suffered from the fiery darts that the enemy has aimed at you and hit the target, and you've survived. But I need you to know that there is a way to prevent them from even getting to you. And one of the things that Paul is sharing with the church at Ephesus and the believers at large is to understand how to be able to put out those fiery darts that the enemy uses to ultimately destroy the people of God. If you would back up to verse 10, and it continues on through verses 10 through 18, you will get a better understanding of this story that is before us, these principles that are here before us, as relates to spiritual warfare and your readiness for it. Here is the truth. Spiritual warfare is already here, whether you're ready for it or not. It comes in many ways, shapes, forms, colors, likenesses, but all of it comes from Satan himself. You've got to be careful, because the enemy is cunning. As a matter of fact, if you would go up just a little bit further back into the scripture, verse 11, I believe it is, when Paul commands us to put on the whole armor of God, listen, for this purpose, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the reason for us to put on the whole armor of God from the first reality. It is because he has so many tricks up his sleeve that he's very cunning and deceptive, and he will use something that appears to be innocent and it'll take you out of here. He will use folk who pretend to be friends who will stab you in the back. He will have folk to join your union to give inside secrets. He is very cunning and deceptive, and many of us have been deceived thereby. That's why David had to confess, I have played the fool. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us at one time or another have played the fool. Matter of fact, the world made a song about it when it said, everybody plays a fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, it's important for us to know that no matter how saved we are, how sacred we might be, how sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost we are, we still need to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12 tells you where many of these sinful attacks come from, and it gives us all of those listed in the 12th verse. 13 talking about stand. Verse 14 talks about stand. Verse 11 has already told you about standing, but in verse 13 it tells you how to withstand. Stand means to stand erect. It means not to bend, bow, stoop, sit. It literally means to stand and guard your ground. When it says to withstand, it means to take a defensive stand or posture for the enemy to know that you see him coming and you're ready for him. It takes it from a wrestling metaphor. And so it's important to understand that there are some times in your spiritual ability to see the enemy coming that you've got to withstand, which literally means change your position. It don't mean to change your condition. It just means to change your position. It's like a dog. A dog don't always have to bite you to let you know he's ready to bite you. He changes his position, and when he gets ready to growl, he kind of gets in a position to let you know, one more step and you're going to get it. A cat, when a cat wants to jump on you, get ready to attack you, it raises its back up because it's ready to pounce and to use those claws. I'm just trying to tell you, when you withstand, sometimes you just need to let the enemy know, I'm ready, even if you aren't. So it's important to understand that this word, as it gives us the various defensive parts of our armor, it covers us, it covers our loins with the belt and girdle of truth. It covers our heart, lungs, kidneys, and liver, and our midsection with the breastplate of righteousness. It covers our feet. The feet or boot wear, whatever that's shodded with the gospel of peace. It covers our head with the helmet of salvation. It covers us with the sword, and we have, with the shield, and we have the sword, which is our offensive weapon, so that we can attack the devil. And in verse 18, it is considered a spear. So you have two options to attack. That's with your sword, which is the word of God, and your spear, which is your prayer life in the spirit. But here, I like the way Paul deals with verse 16, and he says, above all. Above all. In other words, once you have gotten everything on that you're going to put on to defend you against the attacks of the enemy, above all of that, make sure you get your shield. Now listen to this, because when he talks about this, some writers say in addition to, or it said added to all of the rest of the armor, take the shield. But notice it says above all. That places priority on this shield of faith, because number one, he says, taking, You see, a whole lot of times folk miss or they discount, rather, the power of the shield of faith. Just because you're loaded down with all of your defensive wear on, and you even may have your sword in its sheath, it's there. But when an attack comes against you, you've got to know that your sword can help you block off the attack that's coming against you. Your sword is so that you can be offensive to make the attack against the enemy. So though you are loaded from head down to your feet with all of the necessary covering, there is none that can do the job like the shield of faith. I explained this morning to the church that all of these parts of our armor are all spiritual. This is for a spiritual fight. This is not for a physical fight. Everything that was named had a spiritual counterpart or representation. And so that helps us to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, it's important for you to realize that the fight of your life ain't physical. It's spiritual. Because when you talk about the fight of your spiritual life, that happens in the spirit realm. Do you know if you get your spiritual life right, you won't have to physically fight your battles? God sent the prophet in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 telling King Jehoshaphat, you will not have to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. But what do you want me to be there for, Lord? To stand. That's what God wants the people of God to do, is to stand and represent him. We don't act like the world act when they come against us. Our stand is a godly stand. It's a great stand. It's a stand that says grace surrounds us by the authority of God. We're standing on the promises because we have his principles in our lives. And because of his principles, we know that God is not a man that he should lie. And when we believe him and call him to it, he's going to do everything he said. But we've got to stand. Tell somebody, stand your ground. Tell somebody else, stand your ground. You see, your problem is you mess up because you don't know how to stand your ground. God has already told you what he wants you to do, how he wants you to do it, when he wants you to do it, where he wants you to do it, but you don't know it because you ain't in his word. God, what do you want me to do about it? It's already in my word. That's why we study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know it's more important that you know the word for you than it is for you knowing the word for somebody else? You don't have to ask the God you serve, God, is this your will, when you know his word. Because his word has already revealed his will. It's his mind. He's already given you open access. Matter of fact, you have an open book test. You go right to the word, open it up, and find out what he said he means, what he means he says. And he backs up every word. Our question is, do we put our faith in what he said? Because when we learn how to trust him for his word, we can stand our ground. And we are equipped to extinguish every fiery dart of the wicked. Now let me just back up one moment, because standing is important when you're armored. Because when you stand and you're armored, it is a visual in the spirit realm that the enemy sees you're ready for battle. But I want to throw out a helpful holy hint. When you stand, you don't have to be ugly when you stand. I don't know, it's just something about some saints, they just got this ugly look on their face when they come. You ain't got to have no ugly look on your face to stand for God. Why do you have to look ugly when you know that you're already the winner? Winners don't have an ugly face on, an ugly disposition, a nasty attitude, or some way that does not please God. Listen, you can have a smile on your face and stand your ground. You don't have to cuss, curse, holler, scream. You don't have to if. You don't have to fake. You don't have to do any. You just stand in the authority of God. You stand even with a smile on your face, because you know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if folk knew who they were messing with, you'd be like, y'all go ahead on with that now, because y'all about to get messed all the way up. Messing with a child of God. You remember when the prophet came out and told Elijah, listen, look, we're surrounded. The enemy is all around us. Prophet came out there. Okay, Lord, could you open my servant's eyes and let him see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them? He saw the enemy. He didn't come out pouting. He didn't come out there screaming and hollering. In the name of God. He said, God, open up my servant's eyes. You know, what he was trying to help him to understand is this was a spiritual warfare, not a physical one. Yeah, I see it's just you and me in the flesh. But if you could get a glimpse in the spirit, you will see that we are greater in number than those who appear to be greater in number around us. And that's what you've got to be able to do. See it in the spirit realm. You might look like you're outnumbered. You might look like it's no way you can win. Need I remind you, the devil is a liar and a deceiver too. He blows up his intended warriors to make them look like they're big and greater than you are. Isaiah reports that there were 185,000 men that came against the people of God. And God says, let me help y'all out here. Found an angel sitting around in heaven, said, come here, you. Go down there and fight the battle for my children. One angel in one night slew 185,000 real men. Just one angel, one night, from one God, because he was God and is God of all. You got to know him for yourself. Got to know him for yourself. So listen to this now. Above all, taking, that means every day, every way, taking the shield of faith. Now, it's not a literal shield, because basically in battle there were three basic types of shield. The one shield was a personal shield. It was about 2.5 to 3 feet round in diameter, and they held it on their forearm, and they gripped it at the end of it, and that's what they used in personal battle along with their sword. All right. Then secondly, that was a warrior's shield, which was about 4 feet long and about 2.5 feet wide. And that shield was the shield that covered them from head to toe. Now listen, that shield was more likely the shield that Paul was talking about, because it was the shield that was able to give protection from top to bottom. But then there was another shield that the frontline warriors carried, which was called a door shield, and it was about 5.5 to 6 feet tall with about 4 inches in width, and so it had 2 spots for the eyes so they could look through while covering themselves and their army that was pursuing the opponents. And they would have all of the men with the door shields on the front line first, and then he'd have a backup, etc. So when the onslaught of the enemy's fiery arrows would come, these men would use those door shields to block up against. The ones behind them would flip their shields up above them, so when the arrows that did not get caught by the first shield come over that shield, the second door shield would knock off of the shields that arrows that would be coming. In other words, picture it like this. You got one set of shields here, and when the firing one would start, the other set would do this. So you had literally this and this. So it was almost like they were in a cave so that the arrows couldn't do them no harm. I'm just trying to tell you, whatever shield you use, make sure you carry your shield with you, because it depends on what battle you're in. You need to make sure that you've got your double protection. The shield stood for double protection. They were already armored down, but the shield added another layer of protection. Plus, while everything else in the defensive category of their defensive parts were stationary, the shield was the only thing that was mobile that could be moved and could be manipulated to catch anything that would be coming against them. So that's why it's important for you to know why every day you ought to keep your shield with you. I don't care where you go. You can be at home. You need to have that shield close by. Because sometimes, I need to throw this out, I know you don't know it, but sometimes Satan can use those who are closest to you. They can say some things that'll cut you to the core. Every now and then, you need to make sure when you sit down and eat, your shield ain't far from you. You can feel it coming. Uh-oh, let me get my shield. Yeah. Sometimes your children can say things to you, cut you to the core. You got to make sure you had that shield. And when you got that shield close by, you're able to be able to ward off those darts that come at you. Because can I tell you the truth? Can't nobody hurt you like those who are closest to you. So you don't be inside and don't think you don't have your shield. Sometimes you can see it coming. Somebody else that made a mad outside, they come in there huffing and puffing. Hold on, let me get my shield. Go ahead. I'm listening. Sometime you in deacon meeting, deaconess meeting, choir member meeting, any meeting, whatever, you need to go there with your shield. Oh, Lord, I wish I... You ought not even be at worship without your shield. I wish I had a helper. Because some of them folk come in these doors, got hell all in them, all around them, is coming out of them. You need to, and then you got some folk already in here with hell in them, all around them. And y'all getting quiet on me, but I'm trying to tell you, your worship will be better if you have your shield. You remember when Gideon needed to make sure he had folk who know what they were doing? When he let all of those thousands of men go from the 32,000 down to 300, the ones who kept them shields close and left and looked around were the only 300 that were worthy to go with him in the battle because they were prepared for anything. Now let's look at the fiery darts and then I'm going to close this message. What are the fiery darts? Well, fear is one of the fiery darts that the enemy uses against you. Fear can cause you to lose your own mind. Fear can make you imagine things that aren't there. Fear can make you feel like you're being attacked and nobody and nothing is attacking you like you think they are. Fear can make you think people are against you who aren't even thinking about you. Fear can make you make some of the most foolish mistakes because you're scared. And then you start putting up defenses and you start making things become a reality that aren't even so. Fear is one of the darts. Doubt is another fiery dart. Doubt. You see, when you doubt God, his word, his power, his spirit, then you are a sinner.
Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.